Today on The Journey.
Parenting is not a strategic process. Parenting is a way of life. It is our kids watching us serve God, serve each other, serve them, and that's how they really see what this thing looks like.
Teaching your children self-control in every area of life is a frustrating and fearful endeavor. How do you know if you're doing it right? Well, Ron Moore and his special guest are here to offer guideposts and guidance on this vital topic. Plus, after the message, I'll let you know about Ron's devotional booklet titled Garments of Grace. In it, you'll discover 8 items of spiritual clothing God wants every believer to wear. Garments of Grace is available as a digital download for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest for part one of their discussion titled Responsibility on the Journey.
Syndicated columnist George Will recently wrote a piece for the Washington Post where he said, many parents today are afraid of letting their kids grow up, so they don't. Young people, shaped by smothering parents, come to college not really separated from their helicopter parents. Such students come convinced that the world is properly devoted to guaranteeing their serenity. As Penn State historian Gary Cross says, adolescence is being redefined to extend well into the 20s, and the clustering of rites of passage into adulthood, like marriage, childbearing, permanent employment, has largely disappeared. Writing in the Chronicles of Higher Education, Mr. Cross says that delayed social adulthood means that almost one-fifth of men between the ages of 25 and 34 still live at home with their parents. Where many play video games, the average player of a video game is 30 years old. The percent of men in their early 40s who have never been married has risen fourfold to 20%. You are listening to The Journey. You're joining us for a special series on parenting. Dr. Bob Fredo is helping us with this series. Dr. Fredo has been a teacher and a coach and a principal at the elementary, high school, and middle school levels for over 30 years. It's a long time, Bob.
It's over 30 years.
It's well over 30 years. When you say well over 30 years, that can be well over 30 years.
That's accurate.
Bob, comment on that George Will piece. The smothering parents send their kids to college. They're not separated from their parents. They think the world should guarantee them their serenity. More than ever, kids are living at home. Video players, 30 years old. I know that also one aspect of marriage issues today for young married couples is the guys playing video games, and that's having a tremendous impact, counselors are saying, on marriages. So what about this lack of responsibility that parents are teaching their kids?
That's really the point. There's certainly nothing inherently wrong with spending some leisure time playing video games at really whatever age, but when it impacts your responsibilities, that's where it crosses the line, and I think that's what he's referring to. It's certainly, video games is just one example. There are other ways to waste time and not be responsible.
Right.
But I'd like to speak to this from a bit of a sympathetic, but also a cautionary point of view, because in today's culture, we are so much of a powerful influence of the media today. It really makes an impact on parents in terms mm-hmm. of them being fearful and mistrusting of leaders in the community, leaders in the culture. So I think they're motivated by fear. At the same time, with all that in mind and that somewhat sympathetic viewpoint, it can be damaging to parent by fear or with an attitude of mistrust rather than leaning on those principles that are tried and true that we can find grounded in the Word.
We're going to talk about 5 essential characteristics that we should be teaching to our children during this series. We've talked about respect, how to model and mentor, because you have to show and tell. As a parent, you have to show what these character traits look like, and then you have to teach your children. We've talked about respect. Today, we want to talk about this character trait of responsibility. Now, Bob, responsibility means to be answerable or accountable for something that is in one's power of control. What are the things you would see a person doing to say, okay, now that's a responsible person?
I think this used to be an easier question to answer. We're both old enough to remember a time when parents and adults would let you know what was your responsibility and have expectations you would carry it out. And I always like to refer back to words that ring in my head. Although it's granted that God thinks I'm special, I'm really no one special when it comes to whether or not I have to do my chores or take care of the things that are under my responsibility and control. So I think that we're losing that sense over the decades. In terms of trying to define that now, I think that it's very important that we consider what's developmentally appropriate, because we don't want to be in a position as parents that we go from one extreme to the other. But with consistency and really with intentionality, as we are raising our children, to give them responsibilities that are within their sphere of control. And as their sphere of influence begins to broaden, they begin to take on more responsibility. So for example, in the home, at a very early age, they can begin to do some small things like taking care of their dinner plate, those types of things. As they go on and play in the neighborhood, they can do things for a neighbor, school, and so forth. So as the sphere of influence increases, so does their opportunities for taking more responsibility.
You're listening to The Journey. I'm here with Dr. Bob Fredo, and we're talking about parenting. We have titled this series Imprint Parenting because we know every parent leaves an imprint on the lives of their children, and then they in turn leave an imprint on the lives of their children. And so it goes, and so God's plan is our basis. For this series is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your heart. So it starts with parents having those commandments on their heart. They have to know who God is and who they are in Christ. And then Scripture says, impress them on your children. Imprint them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. And Bob, that's just a reminder that parenting is really modeling and mentoring all the time. It's not like, okay, now sit down. I got 15 minutes with you and I want to teach you something. I'm going to show you something and then you go your way. It is all the time when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Scripture is telling us that this parenting thing is a 24/7 modeling and mentoring. And we need to teach our children, and we need to confirm that teaching by our actions. So let's start today talking about if a parent's going to model responsibility, then they have to model responsible relationships. Talk about parents and the relationships that they have and how critical that is for them to model this.
From a professional standpoint, I have many opportunities to interact with parents and their children. And as I would get to know both the parents and the child, it wouldn't take long for me to notice when there was some disconnect that even the middle school age or high school age child had already noticed in terms of the expectations that the parents have for the child in terms of how they handle relationships and how they manage their own relationships. So the point that you made about it really starting in the heart that the verse describes so well really rings so true. One of the important things is to be in relationship with your child and be able to talk to them, explain to them things about friendship, appropriate relationships of various types between a husband and a wife, how you model that, how you talk to one another, the things that you do really speak so loudly that it can be overwhelming and really overpower anything that you say to them in a short conversation. Mm-hmm. So the modeling part of it is so critical.
One of the things I have to do if my son is going to understand how to be responsible to his future wife, then he has to see me demonstrate responsibility to my wife. And that's commitment. And that's working through some of the challenges at home. Part of responsibility is you don't walk away from stuff. You stay in it. You make it work. So there's a commitment there. Relationship to God. I need to model what a relationship with God looks like. That's not only going to church on a weekend. That's not only reading my Bible. That's great that they see us doing those, and certainly we should be doing those things. But that's demonstrated in the practical ways of life. How do I demonstrate my relationship with God when I'm driving down the road and someone cuts in front of me? How do I demonstrate my relationship with God when I've gone to the hardware store and I've got all this stuff and I'm getting ready to do the project and I realize someone didn't put something in a bag they should have, and now I got to go back to the hardware store and I get really frustrated? How do I demonstrate my relationship to God in the practical ways of life? Sometimes we keep these things like our relationship with God compartmentalized and think if we sing the songs at church, we're good. But our kids are seeing us sing different songs at home.
Right.
We need to make sure we are demonstrating that relationship with God. A parent with child, they're going to see me interact with other siblings. And so they learn how to deal with their brothers and sisters. By the way, I demonstrate responsibility to my children. This is practical stuff. It's spending time with them. And then, of course, showing responsibility to others, shoveling a neighbor's driveway, doing some practical things, showing our characteristic of responsibility to others in our life. And it's so important that our kids see that.
I think sometimes we get caught up in thinking that we're doing a great job of that because we think we are, or we think they know and understand. But when we really step back and think about those things that they're actually seeing us do, it can be convicting and maybe should be, and cause us to be a little bit more intentional about how we're spending our time, the things that we're doing. Thinking about examples of cases where there are competing right things involved, where you're doing all good things. For example, I'm thinking of people I know who work with students and children in the community. Mm-hmm. They spend an inordinate amount of time serving those families and do a great job of that, but sometimes to the neglect of their own child. So there's an inherent responsibility we have to the value in spending time with your own family that demonstrates a responsibility to having a sense of that. Going back to what we say, you're the parent. Yes, you're also the teacher, the coach, or the employee somewhere out in the community, but you're the parent first. So stopping right there and thinking how you're meeting that responsibility speaks volumes to your children.
You're listening to The Journey. We are talking about parenting. We've titled this series Imprint Parenting, coming from Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God's word says, impress the important things on the lives of your children. We're talking today about teaching responsibility and what that means. And I think sometimes as parents, we read a book or we listen to a program and we think parenting is some strategic process. Parenting is not a strategic process. Parenting is a way of life. It is our kids watching us serve God, serve each other, serve them. And that's how they really see what this thing looks like. And when we take parenting away from a strategic process and just say, this is the way of life, I can demonstrate these things in every part of my life, now we've begun to make some progress in impressing these things on our children. Okay, so let's do another one, demonstrating a biblical work ethic. Bob, talk about that.
It's one of those things that's very evident visually to our children in terms of how we go about taking care of those responsibilities that we have with employers and the responsibilities that we have at home. And so our time is no more valuable than their time or our employer's time or anyone else's time, and it's a precious resource. So how we spend our time, not only fulfilling our responsibilities and taking care of those things we need to do to be successful in our employment, but also taking care of our family responsibilities, our responsibilities to serving in our church and our neighborhood, but also to just being very clear in terms of spending time with our children. And that's a tough balance. The work ethic is one you have to really demonstrate an allegiance to that principle and show that, yes, even though it's hard, even though we got home late, I still need to be up and be at work the next day. That responsibility didn't change because the conditions changed. I still have that responsibility. If things get tough at home where maybe I lose a job, that doesn't mean that I have a pity party and feel like, well, woe is me. No, I do, like I can remember my dad doing. He went and got 3 part-time jobs. And I can tell you that as a family, we never missed a meal. And I hope we never lose that in our culture. I'm afraid that that's something that might be diminishing.
I have a philosophy here. I know a lot of guys go to work and they're working hard. They're working 9, 10, sometimes 12-hour days. Some of them have to travel, but I'm just going to be very practical here, very realistic. Our children don't see that. So all they know is we got up early, we left, and we got home. If we have worked all day long and we get home and just sit on the couch the rest of the evening or read the newspaper or check out our iPhone or watch the news, then in the mind of that child, all my dad does is watches the news or reads the paper or goes to sleep on the couch. That's all they see. It is important for us to demonstrate a work ethic around the house. That's why I believe it's important as moms that we teach our children the basic things of work around the house. There are meals to cook. There's cleaning to do. There's laundry to do. The list goes on and on and on. It's got to be modeled, and it's got to be mentored. We got to get them involved in it, age appropriate. And I believe if I work 12 hours a day and I'm exhausted and I get someone else to do all the stuff for me around my house, my kids don't see me modeling those basic things. So I think mowing the grass, working outside, those are things we need to do and get our kids involved. Remember, we are modeling and mentoring these things for our kids. A biblical work ethic doesn't just happen. That's why there are a lot of 30-year-olds staying at home playing video games, because they did that when they were 13 and 23, and why not do it when you're 30? So I believe that this modeling and mentoring is important to demonstrate around the house. Now, and again, we're not going to get into the stereotypes of who does what around the house, because I believe all parents should be involved together in working around the house. So it's not the mom's job to cook the meal only or the dad's job to do something outside. We're in this together. How does it work best at your house? Where is a child going to learn to cook a meal or do the laundry or clean the house or mow the grass unless their parents teach them to do that? I believe there's this important philosophy in teaching responsibility that you can't just say, mom or dad, I go to work all day and I come home and I'm exhausted and so I let everyone else do these things. Our kids have to be taught the things they need to do in life, and a lot of life is around our home.
It's an opportunity to develop just a sense of teamwork as a family unit, shared responsibilities. And if I'm particularly busy one time or I'm out of town for work, son or daughter at the appropriate age, can you take care of these extra responsibilities beyond what you are normally expected to do? Cooperation, all those things. So there's a lot of opportunities in there to convey a lot of good values, not just in the sense of work ethic, but planning and organization as well.
So we have to tell our kids, here's how it works, and we have to show them how it works. Just critical in this framework of modeling and mentoring based on Deuteronomy chapter 6. All right, the third practical thing we can do regarding modeling is to demonstrate responsible time management. This is so important. When I work with married couples, I'll have them write down some of the biggest challenges you have. And every time, time management is in the top three. These are things that we're struggling with. We get busy. We got all these things going on. So how do we teach our kids responsible time management?
Teaching them to value time and really valuing time of other people as well. So having a sense of the very close line between responsibility and respect. While life never goes perfectly, maybe even in one single day, some things may happen that would cause you to be a little bit late for something, but it shouldn't be a lifestyle. There should be an attempt to plan well, prepare well, and be on time so that you can do whatever you're supposed to do in a timely fashion and do it well, but also out of respect for the role that other people have in your having success in the part that you play.
Mm-hmm. I think it gets this practical. Let's just say we're going to church as a family. We live 15 minutes from church. And so we need to be teaching our kids, okay, in order to get to church on time, you can't just show up right when it starts in the parking lot and walk in and be there on time. So here's when we need to leave. Here's what we're going to do when we get there. And again, that sounds so basic and that sounds so mundane in a sense.
Shouldn't be shocked when we get that red light along the way, right?
Right.
Because they're on a cycle. Sometimes they turn red, sometimes they're green.
We hit every green light. If we park right in front, we're going to make it to school on time or wherever on time. And it's just important that we teach time management to our children. I just see so many people just barreling in right at the last moment, getting there. And again, I'm talking to myself here. We've got to model and mentor good time management. All right, here's another one. Modeling a healthy fear of God. Oh, man, this is critical. How do we do this as parents? How do we model a healthy fear of God?
I think what you said earlier, Ron, really speaks volumes to this point, just in terms of it's the way you live your life. It's a culture that is very evident in the home. So there's a consistency about it where your children shouldn't be surprised to know that you're doing something affiliated with the church or doing something in the community that ties into your faith, or if you are in the Word at home, or you want to share something that you read in the Bible, or you want to share a devotion with them, it shouldn't be a surprise to them that you're doing that. So that aspect of spiritual consistency is really important. And then along with that, they should be surprised when those times where they see you fall short, whether it's in your conduct or other ways, they should be surprised. They say, that's really uncharacteristic of you. So that absence of the duplicity. You know, we go to church and then our behaviors and our actions shouldn't change so much that when we come home that they see that duplicity.
I've had youth leaders tell me that a big challenge with a lot of teenagers regarding their spiritual walk is they see their parents come to church, serve in church, do these great things, maybe volunteering somewhere in the community, all these cool things out in public. And then behind closed doors at their house, they say, my parent's another person. And that duplicity is devastating when we're trying to teach our children this framework of modeling and mentoring. So if they hear us saying it or see us doing it in public and then at home, we're not doing it. They're going to say, you know, I don't know if this faith really makes sense at all. It certainly doesn't make sense to my mom and dad, and it's kind of confusing to me.
And it really goes beyond those things that we do. It's our attitude again. It's challenging when you think about it. If all you do after you come home from serving is complain about that, that attitude also gets conveyed or transferred over to your children as well. So they're wondering, what good is it in that service if it's such a discouraging thing?
And Ron and Bob will continue their discussion of show-and-tell parenting in our next broadcast. Please stay with us for a preview of that conversation. When wanting to look your best in public, do you care about the appearance of your clothing? And the same question could be asked of your spiritual apparel, especially of those garments God has provided by His grace. They comprise an 8-piece ensemble made of heaven's finest virtues. You'll find that collection in Ron's PDF booklet titled Garments of Grace. In Garments of Grace, Ron describes each piece and how it's to be worn for God's glory. But here's a warning. When you don this wardrobe, you will be conspicuous. In a world dressed in filthy clothing, torn and tattered by sin, your attire will shine like the stars. Garments of Grace is yours as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Now, let's join Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Here's a huge one regarding responsibility. Allow your children to face consequences. Talk about that.
In the school world, what we see a lot of is the responsibilities transferring more to the school personnel as opposed to the individual student. A lot of times in that gap lies a parent who's really trying to protect a child from experiencing what natural consequences are. No child should just breeze through every situation without ever having a conflict or maybe falling short of a goal, missing an assignment, possibly getting into a little bit of trouble for something that happened in school, for example, or possibly the community. I work with the police a lot over the years too, and it's pretty much the same story that they tell. People in positions of authority find resistance more often, progressively, I would say, over time, with parents trying to guard their children from experiencing consequences. And the sad thing about that is that it takes away opportunities for them to learn and grow from their mistakes and learning how they can bounce back from them, they can improve upon the situation and really have a great growth experience through that.
You're not going to get through life without failing. There's going to be many times when you fail. That doesn't make you a bad person or a less godly person. That's just the reality of life. And our kids need to know how to fail. And if we try to save our kids from failing every time, we're doing them a disservice. Just let our kids face the consequences because life is full of consequences.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to get your copy of Ron Moore's digital devotional, Garments of Grace.
In its pages, you'll discover spiritual apparel for the well-dressed Christian. Garments of Grace is yours for a donation of any amount. You can get it online at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.